To search for happiness and joy is perhaps America's greatest pursuit. Its longing is the strongest out of any force that is out there in our society. It's written into our documents, life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. Happiness. We have this idea that we can get happiness just about anywhere, from anybody, at any time. We deserve happiness. If we don't have happiness, then there are ways to get happiness, like more education that you need, getting the right boyfriend, girlfriend, the right marriage, buying the right product will bring you happiness. This idea that we should be happy at work at all times, happy at home, happy in all our relationships, happy with ourselves, happy with our own self-esteem, happy with our body image. We should have all of that. We should be able to have our cake and eat it too. If there's a problem with any of that, well, we should be able to fix it. Fix it with medicine. Have you seen the medicine commercials? They're on every commercial break. Ask your doctor if you're feeling the least bit sick or queasy, headache, stomach ache. We have the fix for you. You can be happy. Perhaps in no other nation, maybe other Western nations, but it's perhaps unique to our society that we have this hope of total self-fulfillment, happiness, joy. So why is it that we have 25 million Americans? 25 million Americans identify themselves as being depressed or are clinically depressed, psychologically depressed. 25 million. And we have all this stuff out there that makes us happy. All these things that we can do to spend our time that will give us happiness. Why are we so upset? Why are we sad? John Stuart Mill said that the search for happiness is the chief source of unhappiness. In other words, our pursuit of happiness has overtaken happiness itself. Getting there has made us upset that when we get there, we might not even realize that we should be happy or that we are happy. Rabbi Erwin Kula says that when we seek happiness for its own sake, it will elude us. If we're simply seeking happiness for its own sake, we won't get there. Perhaps what is wrong is not with happiness or getting to happiness, but what happiness actually looks like. What is our perception of happiness? What is this image that we have that would be happy, that we define as happy? Maybe that's what we need to change. Change our expectations, change our goals, change what we're working towards. Make it more manageable. Maybe simplifying things. It's true that less is sometimes more. In music, in life, in schedules, less is more. Doing less is more. Maybe having less can add to your quality of life and lead to happiness and joy. But that's not the message of this time of year, is it? More, buy more, get more, shop more. Check off the items from your list. Wrap those presents. More things that will clutter our closets and drawers and cabinets. And how many of us will still be paying that off in February from our credit cards? Stuff. Maybe that is one thing that we can do in order to achieve this joy that we are talking about today, to get to that end point. Have less stuff. Get rid of stuff. Stuff clouds our mind towards experiencing other things. Busyness clouds our minds from experiencing other things, deeper things, more important things, more fulfilling things. Fulfilling equals happiness and joy. Things like spiritual things, prayer life, meditation. Are we tending to our souls this Christmas? Are we filling our bellies, baking? Are we tending to our family, our relationships, our friends? Are we learning to help others? Are we doing something to help others? Something different, something that we might have not tried before, which leads me to my second point. What can we do to experience more joy? It's serving more, doing more for other people. Being happy isn't only about feeling good, it's about doing good. It's built into the way that we are made. Serving others, doing things good for other people, helping people feels good. Feels good. Why not do more of it? Volunteer more. Help out more. Find a need. Serve people. I read a story this week about a rabbi who was visiting Africa, and he saw two young boys on the street corner warming themselves over a pit fire. It was built into a barrel. It was kind of cold. It's Africa, but it still can get pretty cold. They didn't have any gloves, of course, and so he went over and offered these two boys his gloves. The one boy put them on, and the look in his face was of sheer joy. He had never had gloves. He had never felt what it was like to have gloves on his hands. So he put those gloves on, and he was so excited, and then he looked at his friend, and his friend was wondering what he was so happy about, and he gave the gloves to his friend, and he put them on, and he too experienced what it was like to have that warm feeling on your hands. But there was only one pair. So they split. One person had on the left hand and the other the right hand. It felt good to share in that joy of a simple thing, gloves on your hands. Love your neighbor is a prescription that Jesus gave us, a prescription for joy. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not all work. It's not all burdensome. Serving people from your heart is a joyous activity. Gandhi said that we need to practice kindness. Practice kindness. It's not something that we are naturally inclined to do. It's something that we have to build towards. It's something that we have to build into our lives, is sharing, doing things for others. So to experience joy and happiness, perhaps living with less, simplifying our life. Number two, perhaps serving and helping others. And number three is just savoring life. Savoring life. Savoring the moments that God has given us. Enjoying the blessings of God and of this earth. In the history of Christianity, going back to Puritanical days in the Middle Ages, Christians were taught to feel guilty about pleasure, about having more than enough, about anything that was enjoyable. Even laughter itself was thought to be a sin at one time. What a shame. And that still haunts us today. How many times is guilt used as a motivation to get people to come into a church door? It's too bad. I read this week where religion itself can be thought of as a system of enjoyment. Religion equals system of enjoyment. Are you enjoying yourselves today? I hope we are enjoying ourselves today. I hope that we get a certain amount of joy from being together, from seeing each other's faces, from singing songs together, from being in the presence of others and in the presence of God. I hope that we have some joy. I hope that we have some spirit that we are led out of these doors with. As it says in Isaiah, that we shall go forth with joy in our hearts. Religion can be a system of joy where we are taught to savor all of what life is and the journey that God has for us. If you were ever made to feel guilty for the pleasures of life, don't. I think that God would be disappointed if we did not delight in life. So yes, perhaps consider living with less, getting rid of things, but the stuff that we do have, the things that we do have, the relationships that we do have, the time and the schedules of things that we do, savor those, build memories, enjoy those times, live life abundantly, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I came to give you life abundantly. Not just in the next life, but in this life. The holiday seasons can be a time of joy. Joy and happiness. It's worth saying that as much joy as we get from the holidays, that many experience sadness and pain on the other side. Sadness from all the memories of somebody that they are missing, be it a spouse, a parent, maybe even a child. The holidays are a time of great sadness as well. The world needs more joy. The world needs us to go forth and be people of joy, leaving these doors, going forth in joy, carrying joy in our hearts. Hear the angel messages. Do not be afraid. Pray for God to remove the fear in your heart and all the things and obstacles that are between you and delight and joy. Less is more. Serve others. Savor life. Let's go forth with this message, this joy in our hearts.